Android in your car, images in your Gmail, the Dick Tracy watch, and more. This is the Android Realm Podcast, episode number 165, Hitting the Mark. Hey there, everybody. Welcome back to the Android Realm Podcast and a new show for the new year. So, a couple of exciting things going on for the show in addition to all the news that's been going on. So, a couple of the things you'll hear placed during the show, and then in the credits, I will present the rest of the information. If you follow my blog, Headphones Nail the Blog, then you may have heard my teaser post, at least on the blog or on my YouTube channel, so I'll also be getting to that as well in the credits. But without delaying it too much longer, I'll get right into the episode. There's a lot of information to get through, especially since we've been off for a couple of weeks, and that CES has been going on. So I'll start off with some headlines for the week. So CyanogenMod, our favorite ROM developer for Android, reached the 10 million install mark in the past couple of weeks. So a lot of users have been using or installing CyanogenMod on their Android devices. So it basically, to me at least, shows the demand for stock Android-based ROMs and some of the features that can be included in Android without all the need for all of the extra skinning that goes on. In related news, though, CyanogenMod 11 M2 builds were released. So this is the second milestone releases, so a lot of bug fixes and security updates and all of that has been included in the build. So things like Whisper Sync to make private text messaging, as well as the latest features for CyanogenMod and Android devices. In other news, though, Google announced that Bump and Flock are going to be shutting down on January 31st. So if you use any of their features or anything like that, either make sure the apps are installed or start looking to find other ways of transferring your information. So if you need like contact transferring services or just other NFC-based services, just start looking around Google Play. I haven't used either one of these services as of yet. I know I used Bump back in the day, but never really got into it. Didn't really know many people who used it, but they are good apps as far as they go. As far as some headlines from CES, Google announced the Open Automobile Alliance. That's or the website at least is openautoalliance.net. So what this is going to hope to do is bring the Android platform to cars. So rather than using your proprietary maps and navigation and audio layer in your cars, it'll instead be powered by Android. So that'll help integrate better with Android devices. So the current platforms that are as part of the alliance are Audi, GM, Hyundai, and NVIDIA. So a good group of car manufacturers and a video developer as well with NVIDIA. So hopefully, we did get an announcement from Audi this week as far as how they're going to be bringing it to their cars. I'll get to that in the devices segment for this week. But basically, hopefully this is a little bit more productive and used a little bit better than the Open Handset Alliance was as far as pushing updates to Android devices and that sort of thing and promoting the open nature of Android. But that was announced, so we'll see how that works out over the coming months. And finally, you may have noticed a slight change if you check out the settings panel in Gmail, in that users can now send you an email in Gmail via Google+. So let's say you have someone in your circles or someone has you in their circles, then you can send that person an email and ask them a question or interact with them without actually having to know their email address. So let's say you circled them in Google Plus and you never got their email address, you can send them an email. Your email address remains private, so if that person or you don't want to have your email address known publicly to that person, then just don't respond and they won't know it. But this bridges that gap to meeting people and having their email address sent automatically. So let's say you do want to get that person's email address or show your email address to that person, then you reply to that email and it becomes a regular email conversation. So it's actually a pretty nifty feature. I have yet to use it, but I did enable it. So if I want to do that or someone wants to do that with me, then it bridges that gap a little bit better. I figure as a early release is actually pretty good. I would actually want to probably see that, you know, taken a step further and maybe make it a private, or maybe add that option of not allowing or having the ability to not show your email address. So let's say you want to use a Google Plus profile or a Google Plus page as an interactive means of using Gmail, but not have your email address shown, then that would be an additional feature. So for example, let's say you wanted to interact with the Android Realm, but it's tied to my personal email account, but I want to interact with you as Android Realm on a private level, then maybe that'll be a upcoming feature, but that would be something to see. Sorry. But that is all for the headlines for this week. So as far as some app news, quite a bit of stuff going on this week. Apex Launcher version 2.2 was released, so the launcher is now out of beta. It does bring KitKat features to anyone using the launcher, so it's along the line, along the par of Nova, but its own various feature sets between the basic free and the pro features. So I know the offhand that the main differences between Apex and Nova are that various swipe gestures are available free version, where other additional features are in the pro, but aside from that, the look and feel of KitKat is now available. For those of you who watch shows on MTV, you can now download the MTV or the official MTV app on Android. You can watch the full shows, but you still do need a cable subscription. So it's one of those things to allow you to watch their shows while on the go and while still paying for a cable subscription. I imagine that, or I guess even on at home, if you want to check out past episodes, I really don't watch MTV anymore, so I have no need for this, but if in case you do like some of their shows, then check it out. OneNote got an update this week to support multi-window and or multi-window viewing, and get an updated widget to see your recent notes in addition to performing various other quick actions. So definitely check that out if you use OneNote. The Fly Delta app got updated to help keep track of your sky miles. So if you often are on the go or want to see where your balance is at, then that's definitely worth looking into. BlackBerry started testing channels and voice calling for beta users of BlackBerry Messenger. So basically, it's one of those things where BlackBerry is probably trying to bring more of their features onto other platforms. So definitely check it out. It was in limited beta with little word on how fast or how soon they're going to expand it. So definitely keep your eyes out in case you're interested in that. I know I definitely will be. I haven't really used BlackBerry Messenger after its initial launch, as I don't really know many people who use it or haven't found a need to actually use it. For those of you who use the Timely Clock widget, the developers Bitspin are now partnering with Google. So this was actually kind of a surprise news, but we'll see exactly where Google and Bitspin are going with this. Maybe Google is looking to improve on their clock and alarm widget a little bit more to make it look that much better and function a little bit better. So we'll see exactly what happens with that. For those of you who used Aviate Launcher or remember the launch or my review of it about a couple of months ago now, it's the launcher that brings a Google Now look and feel to the launcher and categorizes how you use your apps based on your general usage. Well, they were purchased by Yahoo this week, so we'll see exactly how Yahoo plans to integrate their services with Aviate. Maybe they want to have a Android launcher based on more of Yahoo's products. Gmail got an update this week to version 4.7.2, and now brings that ability that Google announced a few weeks ago, where images will now be auto-loaded in the app. So you basically don't have to go through the step of always show images or show images this time. They'll just be loaded. If you want to disable it, you can still do that though. You just go into settings and turn that feature off. The same feature is available in the Gmail website, so it's basically that kind of consistency in case you want to have it on or off in any case. But the security is backed by Google themselves, so basically they'll be checking for things like malware and spam and all of that to make sure that nothing malicious gets through. And finally, Google Play Services is getting updated to 4.1. There's also a minor update that's going to be rolling out shortly after that if you haven't received it yet. But version 4.1 brings multiplayer support and more Google Drive API integration, as well as support for the Google Mobile Ads SDK. So basically, it's more gaming focus as well as just notes and various comments integration with Google Drive. So it's tying in more of the features of Google Play that have been coming rolling out over the past few months. The update to version 4.1, though, is bringing a fix for the battery drain issue that some users are experiencing. So if you notice that Google Play is draining your battery rather quickly, just keep looking for that update to take care of that. So before I get into the device section, I'm pleased to announce a new sponsor to the show, ProXPN. They're the Uber secure VPN service to protect your traffic while on the... So as an Android user, you want to be sure you're always protected. And while you're on the mobile or on the internet in general, you want to make sure that you're always protected and safe and your data always remains private and closed off to people who are not allowed to see it, or you don't want people to see it in general. So basically, ProXPN provides you with a service to protect the traffic from your computer or mobile device. They do have apps available for your mobile device to help you protect yourself, so it keeps your internet browsing secure and also keeps your data safe as well. So if you visit ProXPN, be sure to use the code GEEK20, that's GEEK20, for 20% off their already fantastically low prices, and check them out. They're definitely the service to use, so definitely use them if you were concerned about security, and support the show as well. That's ProXPN with the code GEEK20. So with that, I'll jump right into the devices section for this week. A lot of stuff happened, or a few things happened before CES, along with a couple of items during this week for CES in Las Vegas. So to start it off, Fitbit got an update this week to work with newer devices, namely Motorola and Nexus devices. So if you purchased a new device over Thanksgiving or over Christmas or over your holidays, then definitely check it out. They are working to expand their compatibility with various newer devices so that more people can use it. The Oppo N1, the official CyanogenMod and mod phone, got CyanogenMod version 10.2. I believe at ship date it was either version 10.1 or it was version 11. I forget off the top of my head, but if you want to use 10.2 or CyanogenMod 10.2, that option is now available. The Lenovo N308 was announced this week. It's a new Android-based desktop PC. It runs you about $450, and it comes with a 19-inch screen and up to 500 gigabytes of storage. That is on a standard IDE hard drive, so just your traditional spinning disk form of hard drive. It runs Android 4.2 and has a quad-core processor, and it weighs about 10 pounds. With that screen size and the power that it requires, the battery life isn't too great. It's about 3 hours, so you can take it on the go, but don't expect to run or use the device all day long. It's basically meant to be used just as a transition from one place to another, and that's about it, especially with the quad-core processor that it uses. But at least it's an Android-based desktop, and you can use all of the various Google services, and it's basically the same as your tablet, but with a keyboard and mouse sort of platform. For those of you who want a slightly bigger device, check out the Lenovo ThinkVision 28. It's a $1,199 device, but it has a 28-inch screen, runs Android 4.3, and is 4K video compatible, so it has a super high-resolution screen. I didn't see too much else as far as the hardware specs go, but it does look like it's high-end, and if you're more geared to watching shows and high-quality content, or at least higher-quality HD content, this may be the device for you. For those of you who love Android but want a slightly different UI, or want a more WebOS card-based UI, then check out the Meizu MX3. It's going to be running what they dubbed the Flym OS. That's FLYME. It's basically Android with a slightly refreshed UI, so it's easier to single finger swipe across the UI. It's basically more card based and easier on the eyes sort of thing. It has a 5.1-inch screen, so it's still a rather large screen, but it comes with an 8-core processor, 2 gigs of RAM, an 8-megapixel rear camera, 2-megapixel front camera, a 2400 milliamp hour battery, and it has the options of 32, 64, or 128 gigabytes of storage. So it's a very high-powered machine and looks to be very easy to use at the same time. So I can't actually wait to hear more about it, but the one thing to note is that it does have a 5.1-inch screen, so if you want that larger screen size, this may be the way to go. In other news, though, as far as more related to CES, Samsung announced a Galaxy Note Pro 12. It's basically their Galaxy Note, but more for the business and professional user. It has a 12.2-inch screen, 2 gigabytes of RAM, 32 gigabytes of storage, an 8-megapixel rear camera, 9500 milliamp hour battery, Android 4.4, Wi-Fi LTE, and LTE. The Wi-Fi model has a 1.9 gigahertz octa-core model, and the LTE model is a 2.3 gigahertz quad-core model. So the LTE model is a slightly slower or fewer cores, but a flat faster processor. The Wi-Fi model is a little bit slower, but more cores. So the trade-offs there, but basically they're taking a kind of shot at the Windows tablets and iPad, that sort of thing, and it's very powerful, so it does look very interesting. There are minor updates I've heard as far as the UI goes, but expect your general Samsung TouchWiz UI as well with this device. In other news, though, developer and very new startup OnePlus is going to be working with CyanogenMod to put their OS, or to put the CyanogenMod OS on their new devices, so look for a more stock experience on OnePlus devices with the additional features that CyanogenMod provides. Hyundai announced this week that the second generation of their BlueLink technology will be running Android. So rather than your stock proprietary UI and backend, it'll actually run Android. So it should better integrate with your Android devices. This is partially related to the Open Automotive Alliance that was formed with Google, so this is kind of like the early platform to see how that's going to work out. Just remember that this will cost you $100 a year, so it's still something you have to pay for, but that integration with Android is the biggest takeout for this alliance, and as far as what this is supposed to bring. As far as connectivity, it does use Verizon's network, whether you like Verizon or don't like them, that's going to be the back end as far as how you're going to get your updates and information sent to this device. As far as someone else in the Open Auto Alliance, Audi announced a Smart Display 10.2. This is going to be a highly crash and variable temperature resistant device, so something to take into account as far as something they're putting in the car, so it should be very durable and very protected. Basically, it's going to connect to your car via in-car Wi-Fi, so kind of like a wireless system to help probably take it in and out of the car, so use it as a tablet when you're not in the car and use it as your navigation when it's in your car. Not too much was announced as of yet, but we'll see in the coming weeks and months, hopefully, to see exactly how they decide to implement it. In other news, though, ZTE announced a new hotspot and projector. I didn't see a name for it, but it's basically a hotspot projector that runs Android on a 480 by 800 resolution screen. The projector that's built into it will project up to 120 inches, so big enough to put in your pocket, and it's powerful enough to last what seems like the day, because it does have a 5,000 milliamp hour battery, and it does provide 3G and 4G connections, so it's definitely something to consider, especially if you want a hotspot on the go. I didn't see how much it would cost as far as pricing goes, but imagine something along your standard pricing, or maybe a little bit more, since it does have a little bit extra specs and it does have a built-in projector. And finally, probably the most intriguing bit, at least for this week, is the Neptune Pine. This is a brand new smartwatch that does not actually require a smartphone to be connected to it. So it comes with a 2.4-inch screen, Wi-Fi, GPS, maps, Bluetooth, a web browser, NFC, and a phone built in. It has 512 megabytes of RAM and is available with 8, 16, or 32 gigabytes of storage. It has a 5 megapixel rear camera with LED flash. It also has a front camera running at, I didn't see the megapixels, but it is a VGA camera, so probably like 1.2 or 1.3 megapixels, somewhere around there. And it runs Android 4.1. So basically, it's your own smartphone in a watch form factor. So I was browsing around the website. It's still on pre-order, but the starting price is around $300 to $335, and it goes up from there. So with the clip and various features that you may want in it based on size and all of that, it's going to run, it gets very easily up to about $400. So, and that doesn't include, or does not include shipping, but it is a very nifty watch. It's along those lines of a Dick Tracy watch to make video calls and phone calls straight from your watch. Now, if you're not too much of, into holding your arm at a weird angle to hold a watch up to your ear, it is, it does have Bluetooth, so you can include a Bluetooth headset to connect to it, and you're just walking around and using your device and talking. And it does have storage, so you can do things like put music on it and listen to music that way as well. I didn't see as far as if it has a headphones port or not, but using a or buying a set of Bluetooth headphones would allow you to listen to music that way. And so with that, I'm going to present our second sponsor for the for this week's episode before I get into the feature review and the two app reviews for this week. So the second sponsor for this week is our friends over at Tweaked Audio. Now, obviously you're listening to this podcast or you listen to podcasts and music on your go on the go, and you want to make sure that you have the best sounding quality headphones possible. That's where our friends at Tweaked Audio come in. They have 7 great styles and colors to choose from, so whatever suits your style, you can do that, or you have that choice. They do have models with or without a microphone, so if you like, if you're often listening to music and you need to talk on the phone, then you can get that model with the microphone. They work great with music and or talk shows, so they sound great no matter what you listen to. They are noise-reducing headphones, so outside noise is obviously canceled, and they're very durable, and they include free shipping. So a lot of great perks for buying from Tweaked Audio. The one thing that caught my eye was, if you remember, for one of the recent episodes of the show, I mentioned that the Moto X is going to be coming with a wood bamboo backing. They do offer that as well. So if you want wood headphones to go with your bamboo Moto X, then they have that option as well. So they have something that to suit your style and needs. So in your microphones, bud microphones, a variety of different colors and styles. So definitely check them out. And it's compatible with most devices, so your Android devices, iOS devices, tablets, media players, whatever you have, they're compatible with the whole line. Basically, since all of them have the same size headphones jack, you don't have to worry about knowing which device it's compatible with. They're highly compatible with a lot of devices. So be sure to use the code GEEK, that's G-E-E-K, for a third off of your order. And be sure to show support for the show by visiting geek-io.com/tweaked. I'll have that link in the show notes so you guys have easy access to that. But definitely check them out for your headphones need. And they have great customer service. They're very responsive. So definitely check them out and support the show. That's Tweaked Audio. And use a promo code GEEK to get a third off of your order. So with that, I'm going to jump into a feature review and two app reviews for this week. So I wanted to be sure I got these in since we were off for a couple of weeks, and there was a few new things that came out. So first off, if you know, I am a Pandora. I do use their service and their app quite a bit. So recently they launched an update to their Android app where you can now use or have a Pandora alarm clock so you can wake up to your favorite stations. I know this is a benefit for me. I hate having to wake up to the exact same track every day that I wake up, so this is a definite plus. I can just set my station and it just launches whatever song is it decides to load, and it keeps me mystery and I wake up to something I like. So it's the initial setup process is a little unusual, but it's from there, once you know where it is, it's really easy to get into. So what you'll do after opening the Pandora app is you start any station, you'll click on the menu button at the top right of the screen, and you'll see a option at the bottom that says alarm clock. So you'll turn it on and it'll jump you into the alarm clock settings. So you can basically set the time for the alarm, whether you want it to repeat or not, and which station you want it to launch when the alarm goes off. And so basically you set your alarm from there. The only downside that I notice is that you can only set one alarm. I don't know if maybe in a future update they'll let you create alarms by station or multiple alarms. But for now it actually works relatively straightforward. So you set your the days you want it to repeat, for example, so I want it to wake me up every work day. And then I'll set the station that I want and leave it at that, and it'll launch that station every day at that same time. So it's a really nifty feature. I actually like it quite a bit. I'm still getting used to it and making sure that it works consistently before I make it my primary alarm, but so far it is very consistent. I do like it quite a bit. So I'll have a link to the Android Realm feature review that I did so you can check out a couple of the screenshots. But it is really, really nifty, and definitely check out that update. So depending on what you listen to, whether it's comedy, music, or anything like that, definitely check it out. I do recommend it, and it's a really nice feature. And on top of that, it doesn't cost you anything extra as part of the free app. The app is only really free, but it's part of the app, so you don't have to worry about paying anything extra. And then with that, I'm going to jump into app review that for an app that I didn't think about earlier, didn't even think existed until I started doing some research and poking around. So I recently started getting more into using Instagram for sharing my pictures, but the thing that would bug me is that I would often take, or with my Moto X, I can now take wide angle pictures, so 16:9, but Instagram only lets me share pictures as a square. And that kind of bugged me because sometimes I want to include more of a picture, or I want to change the borders or whatever. I didn't care if there were borders or anything like that. I just wanted to share the whole picture. So I was wondering if there's a way to do that, and there is. So there's an app that I found called InstaSize. So what this does is after you take your picture, you can take a picture with the app. And what it lets you do is resize a picture and make various adjustments so you can easily share it to Instagram. So let's say once you have your picture, you can do various things like change the borders around the picture so you can have it be black, red, green, blue, or whatever, or a striped or polka dot background, whatever. There's a whole bunch of options available. And then you can even do things like make a collage. So after you add your initial picture, you can add more pictures into it and arrange them how you want, or do a preset collage to make that combination of pictures. And then you can do things as well like add text and that sort of thing. So if you want to have notes in the picture for context, you can do that as well. So it's a really awesome app, and then once you're done, you hit share, and you can share it to Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter, and it fits the picture automatically to the Instagram size, which is basically the square, but since you're doing including the picture at whatever size you want, it's good to go. It is a free app in the Google Play Store. I'll have a link to the Android Realm app review so you can check out. I only really included the one screenshot because it's a really easy app to use. You have all your options at the bottom. The only thing is you have to first include a picture, and then all the other options become available. So definitely check it out. The app, I'm liking it so far. I'm going to continue to use it as my means of sharing full images to Instagram. And finally, this week, an app was released or announced as part of the CES extravaganza of things to announce, and it's an app called Jelly. So, have you ever wanted to use your social network to ask a question and include visual cues? Or are you finding that asking a question on the internet is too broad and varied for your taste? You just want to ask your friends and have the various cues to ask them a question? Well, that's what Jelly does. It's basically a social app to ask and answer questions. And you can include a visual cue if you want, but it's totally optional. You can take a picture of a wall if you want and include that. But basically, if you have a question like, what does this remind you of, or what's the name of this tree, you can take the picture of that tree, ask the question, and wait for an answer. It currently uses Facebook or Twitter, or you can use both. You have to log in with one or the other to start, and you can add the other one after, I believe. I didn't see how to do that directly, so maybe it's coming in an update, but if you want to use your Facebook friends or your Twitter friends, you can do either one. And Ask them any question you want, and then also vice versa. So once you set up your Twitter or Facebook account, once those, that your friends start asking questions, you'll see it populated in the app, and you'll get notifications that someone is asking a question and they need an answer. And then let's say you don't want to answer a question or don't have an answer, and you don't want to see that show up, all you do is swipe down and the card goes away, and that's the end of that. You'll not see that card again after that. So remember to think twice if you do or do not want to answer that question. So the app is free in the App Store. I'll have a link to the Android Realm app review with all the screenshots to check it out. It is a very sleek app and it's worth checking out. I'm not using it too much as of yet, but we'll see as more people start to use the app. But that is really all there is for that. So with that, I'm going to jump into the credits for this week. So that is all for this particular episode of the Android Realm podcast. I know I ran a little bit long. There was a lot of stuff to get through in this particular episode, especially to catch up with prior news as well as stuff that came out at CES. But I also wanted to make the announcement that, as you heard in the show, we do have two new sponsors for the show, ProXPN and Tweaked Audio, so definitely show them support if you're interested in additional security features while browsing the internet, and if you're looking for a brand new set of headphones to match your new device that you may have gotten over the holidays, or just something to match your old style. I'll have those links in the show notes as well with the code, so in case you want to check it out. But for ProXPN, you visit proxpn.com and use the code GEEK20. For Tweaked Audio, you visit geek-io.com/tweaked and use the code GEEK. But I also wanted to mention this week that the Android Realm podcast is now a part of the Geek.io network of shows. So these are a group of guys who are very geeky and are into various things related to geek. So they're an awesome group of guys. So if you want to check out the Android Realm, the post will be available at geek-io.com/the Android Realm. But you can also check out a whole host of other geeky shows to fit your lifestyle. That's geek-io.com. It's a great group of guys. I don't know why I'm picking a tongue-twisting style of talking, but it's a great group of guys, a bunch of awesome shows to check out. Real Insight is also already part of the network as well, in case you listen to that show. And This Working Droid, my other show, will be starting there on Monday. So that actually leads me into the final bit of news that I want to mention. So if you have the Android Realm app, you know that my personal blog, which is Headphones Neil the Blog, is listed as official my shows. Well, I wanted to start promoting that a little bit more. So if you want to get my regular updates with what I'm up to and new news, teasers, or anything like that, then check out Headphones Neil the Blog. The website is patelN01.blogspot.com. So it's basically just an outline along with whatever else I've been up to for that week. But I also want to make note that my blog is also a video blog. So I post the updates as a video to YouTube. So you can check out my channel at youtube.com/PatelN01. So you can either subscribe to the site or subscribe to my YouTube channel to show your support. So wanted to let everybody know about that as well. I'll have all these links in the show notes as well. But be sure to subscribe or bookmark the pages as well if you want the show or the podcast or the my blog and all of that good stuff. But that is all for now. If you need to get in touch with me, you can email me at theandroidrealm@yahoo.com. You can leave me a voicemail at 714-451-6574. You can find us now on the web at geek-io.com/theandroidrealm. The androidrealm.blogspot.com website will remain up as part of the archives and reviews site for the Android Realm, so I'll keep that up, and I'll have the links to the reviews, but that site will now just be the archives for the show in case you want to check out past content. As far as subscribing, you don't really need to do much to change. I'll be making all the updates on the back end, so everything remains the same. The subscription link is exactly the same as before, so you have nothing to worry about there. If you have issues, as always, you can get in touch with me, let me know. And finally, you can find me on Twitter at PatelN01. The Geek IO website has all the links for all their social media sites as well. So you can interact with us there, follow us, and all of that good stuff. But that is all for this particular episode. Thanks for tuning in, and until next time.